Thanks for joining us for this episode. And before we get started, please take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you may listen to podcasts. If you want to learn more about any guest featured in this episode or access any content or resources discussed, be sure to check out the show notes in the episode description. We hope today's episode increases truth and inspires hope in the lives of your church, your business, your family, and beyond. Welcome to the Must Increase Podcast.
Welcome or welcome back to the Must Increase Podcast. I am so excited you've joined us, and I'm excited to introduce my guest to you today. And I am joined by the pastor of Bible Baptist Church in Mattoon, Illinois, and a very awesome web developer and all-around tech genius, in my opinion, Ryan Hayden. Welcome. Hey. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, man. Thanks for the flowery introduction. I appreciate that. So
only the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are hopping into continuing our series, our best of series. And in this particular episode, we are doing the best tech devices, softwares, platforms, not necessarily things that we acquired or discovered this year, but just things in the tech world that have really helped us or that we found great benefit in and whatnot. Mm. So I've kind of explained the rules to you before we hit record. We're going to do our draft, if you will. And so it starts with the coin toss. So Ryan, you as the guest do get to call it heads or tails.
Tails.
All right. Yep. There we go. Here we go. And it is tails. So you will get first pick, but, text me your number one and I'll text you my number one. And so I'm waiting for your text there. And then we're going to hold number one until the end, as far as publicly announcing it. So I'm waiting to get your number one. I'm typing mine in, hoping you don't happen to crossover. I don't think you will. But once we have that, then, okay, there we go. Yeah. No chance I was going to cover that. There's mine. And okay. So we each have our number one pick. So we're going to actually start with number two. So Ryan, you are on the board.
Yeah. So I love the Kindle Scribe. It is the largest Kindle that you can buy. It's like the size of an iPad, but it has that black and white screen. I have, as a web developer and somebody that writes just a ridiculous amount every week, I have eye strain issues. And so the Kindle Scribe is just basically just a Kindle, like a Kindle Oasis or a Kindle Paperwhite, only it's huge and you can write on it. And it comes with you can order a cover from it from Amazon that's really great. And it kind of stands up like a book stand. And so I use that for reading. I use that in my ministry work. I mean, I have all my commentaries and stuff on it. I use it for taking notes, you know, if somebody else is speaking. It's just with me pretty much all the time. And, not enough preachers and pastors and people know about these things. Like the whole e-ink that you can write on world is pretty game changer. It's awesome. So the Kindle Scribe would be my number one.
Okay. Number two. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I've heard of the Kindle Scribe. It's fairly new, right? I mean, it just came out within the past few months, or am I missing?
Yeah, I got mine in August. And before that, I used something called a Remarkable, which is very similar. Mm-hmm. But the Remarkable is not great for reading books. It doesn't have any kind of a backlight, and it doesn't have access to like your Kindle library. The Remarkable is actually, if you just want something to write on, it's a much better experience. But in my opinion, the Kindle Scribe is just a better all around tool to have. And so, I keep both of them with me still, but the Kindle Scribe is my absolute favorite thing right now.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Very interesting. So yeah, 'cause my dad got a Remarkable, earlier this year, and I'm not a handwrite guy. Like I have horrible handwriting. And so for me, you know, doing handwriting of anything is just not something that I, That I do, honestly, rarely. I can't remember the last time I hand wrote something. So the appeal to me is minimal, but I can definitely see for those who do, you know, and do a lot of, because that's the other thing. I don't do a lot of, if I'm going to do reading, I'm doing it through an audiobook. So I'm not really reading. And so, but yeah, my dad really likes his Remarkable, and the Kindle Scribe does seem interesting. So, hey, great, solid pick. I think there are a lot in our audience that are going to appreciate your input on that. All right, I'm going to move into my number two pick then. And actually, I'm going to kind of take a little inspiration, not really, but kind of, from your pick. And I'm going to go with the iPad Air with my Magic Keyboard. So I have been a flip-flopper on my iPads, well, really on all my devices. I kind of go back and forth between the different sizes and the different, you know, configurations of them. I've had an iPad. I used to have an iPad mini, and then I've gone all the way up to like the 13-inch iPad Pro. And I love both. I actually see the benefits in both. It's nice to have the huge iPad Pro screen that when you do pair it with the keyboard almost functions as a little laptop. Honestly, if they ever figure out, if Apple ever decides to run macOS on iPad, I may go back to that at some point. But as of now, that's not what's happening. So, but then there's also the iPad mini, and I like the small form factor. I can fit it in my back pocket. I really do like that and enjoy that. But for where I'm at and what I'm doing and what I'm really using an iPad for, I really just kind of came to the conclusion that it's going to be best for me to just go with something that's middle of the road, which is going to be the iPad Air. It's 10.9, so almost 11 inches in size. And when it is paired with the Magic Keyboard, I really do enjoy it for moments when I want to just, when I want to focus in on doing simple things, like mainly something that is writing related. So even though I don't handwrite a lot, I do find myself needing to something as simple as, hey, manage my inbox. So replying to emails, doing things like maybe journaling or writing up, you know, content for podcasts and things like that. And so I've really enjoyed my iPad Air with that ability just to kind of grab it. You know, in theory, I can do it with a laptop, but not in the same way. Like grab it, tuck it under my arm, don't need a bag, just go sit at Starbucks or whatever. And, you know, just have like that writing device. And in the moment, you're so focused in on writing because it's like, it's that perfect size screen. So I've really enjoyed that. So the iPad Air is my number two there. And Ryan, I don't know, you know, you being a, you know, Kindle, you know, using your Kindle there, I don't know if, have you ever dabbled rather in the iPad Air or iPad world rather?
Yeah, I have an iPad Pro. Actually I have an iPad Pro and the Magic Keyboard, and my three-year-old knocked it off of a table and shattered the screen. And so right now, like I looked into replacing the screen and it was like $400 or something. And I was just like, forget that. And so I have a big heavy case, so I can't use my magic keyboard, but it was a life-changing when I could. I mean, I carried that a lot of times. I would just hop in my truck and drive out to the lake to do writing. The same idea as you, it's just distractions kind of went away and I could focus on what I was doing. I have an iPad on my list too, so I don't know if I'll just talk about that when we get to it, but.
Okay. No, that's fair. Well, then with that in mind, then let's get you to this would be your number three pick. So you're up.
My number three pick is the Mac Mini, the newer Mac Minis with the M1 or I guess there's an M2 or 3 chip in them now.
Yeah, they're on the M2 now for those. Yeah.
The price for those is unbelievably crazy. Mm-hmm. Like I think we have probably between my house and the church, I think we have 6 M series Mac Minis around. I have the first M1 Mac Mini on my desk right now that I'm recording this on. And I have never had any desire to upgrade it. It's just, it has been an absolutely perfect machine for what I do. I also have a MacBook that, you know, I don't use that much because I'm just constantly using this Mac Mini paired with a giant screen. So if you're looking to get into the Apple ecosystem, or you have like an old Intel Mac and you want to upgrade, it's like $600, maybe even less than that to get into this. And they're just so ridiculously good. Like you will wonder why you didn't do it before. We use it to run the live stream at our church. We use Ecamm, and we use an M1 Mac Mini to run the live stream, and it handles that flawlessly. I have one in my church office. I have one in my home office. It's perfect. Perfect little machine.
Yeah. And I can second that. I actually did have the M1 Mac Mini for a little while. Now I chose to sell it in favor of another item that's going to be on my list here in a moment. But you're right. It is amazing. The whole M series now with Apple is just mind blowing. Even the M1, like just the jump from Intel, in terms of performance and speed is incredible. You're absolutely right. I have made that exact recommendation that you are about the Mac Mini. If you are looking to get into Apple and maybe you're already in a position where you're, hey, I have a desktop Windows computer. Cool. Chuck the tower, if you will, or whatever. Go get your Mac Mini and then just plug in your HDMI and your keyboard and mouse and all that into it, and you're ready to go. I think you're right. I think $599 is the starting price or something like that. And even if you get the absolute base model, you're going to be super happy in most cases. If you're a high-end video editor or something like that, maybe looking at upgrading. But like if you're just using it for standard work and things, like it's going to be great.
I was going to say, the only time I've ever been able to see the little beach ball at all, like that the Mac is thinking, is editing video. So if I was editing video all the time, I would probably use something else. But I mean, I ran a web development company with 20 employees off this Mac Mini. I code and write stuff. Like my tech needs are way beyond the average user, and it's totally adequate for everything that I do. Including doing, video editing. I just don't do a ton of it. So it's just a great machine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, I can second that. And now I think if you go and buy a Mac Mini, the base model is the M2 now, which is even faster than the M1. And they do give you the option even to go to the M2 Pro. But like you said, Ryan, I just don't really see hardly there's maybe 5-10% of users out there that really need to even consider that. So, it's a great machine for sure. Okay. So I'm going to move in to my number three pick, and I'm actually struggling on this one. I have a few here, I'm definitely going to have to do some honorable mentions here, but I think I am going to go, just kind of keeping it in the Apple theme, kind of following your rhythm there. And going with a computer, I'm going to go with a MacBook Air 15-inch. Apple just released this past summer. The only frustrating thing about it is, they released it. It's got an M2 in it. And I just know that we are within probably 3 to 6 months of them refreshing it to the M3. So it's just kind of frustrating when they refresh things so often. That said, going back to what you're talking about, just the M series chips in general, like I don't know why I'm complaining. It's completely incredible in terms of the speed, the performance. And so I have been really pleased with it. I do like having the slightly larger screen because I do 60 to 70% of my workday is spent remotely working at coffee shops. That's just what I like to do. So to have that slightly bigger screen is great. I did go ahead because I do find myself needing to do some video editing and things like that. So I did go ahead and I maxed it out in terms of, I got the, I believe it's 24 gigs of RAM on this one. But even if I wouldn't have, I probably would have been fine. It's just a matter of me being impatient and I don't want to wait the extra, 3 minutes for something to render. but I've been really happy with it. And again, going back to the idea of, here's the thing about the whole M series for Apple now, base models. I never would have recommended base models before, but now I do, because base models are satisfactory and way more than what the average user needs. So yeah, number three for me is this 15-inch MacBook Air, which I'm actually recording this episode on right now.
Sweet. Ryan, this is my turn. Am I on number three or four?
I believe you're on number four. This is your fourth.
I'm just going to mix it up so that we're not doing Apple.
There we go.
The Sony this is the worst named product in all time. Okay. The Sony WH-1000 XM4 headphones. They're Sony's high-end Bluetooth noise canceling headphones, and they are so good. I mean, they just the battery lasts forever. They pair with multiple devices at the same time. The noise canceling, like I use it in my workshop when I'm woodworking and I can't hear my table saw, which I don't know if that's very safe, but it's just like they are so good. If you have to travel and you have to fly on airplanes, I mean, it's like, you know, they'll last for like 20 hours before you charge them. They have a USB-C charger, which is just super convenient. And I think they are better than Apple's super expensive headphones. And I like them a lot better than the Bose super expensive headphones. So it's one of those items that, like, if they broke, I'd probably be going and buying another set. They're just unbelievably good.
And so are these, just to clarify, are these over the ear headphones or in-ear?
Yeah, they're over the ear headphones. They're not like studio headphones like this, but they're over the ear headphones. They fold up really small. They come in a nice little, actually mine are charging at my other office, but this is the bag that they come in. They're really easy to travel with. Just an unbelievable product. My wife is always stealing them from me. Good. She's got like Beats or something, and she almost never uses her Beats because she's always trying to take over my headphones. So
okay, very cool. We'll see. Yeah, and honestly, I'm just not a big over the ear headphone guy. Like, I just don't. Sometimes when I'm editing, I will put a, I have a set on here that I'll wear, but my ears get so hot so fast. And I know that they have like more advanced cooling on a lot of these now to where that doesn't happen. But in general, it's just not really my thing. I definitely prefer my in-ear AirPods. But I do know that, like you said, the AirPods Max, which is Apple's over their headphones, they are so overpriced. I know.
Well, these are not cheap. I think these are $400. I mean, these are not cheap headphones. Apples are like 600 and something.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
that.
Yeah. So we're saving $200 just by not having the Apple tax.
Right. I would say, as an honorable mention, I have several pairs of these. I think I forget what brand they are. AKG K380s. They're studio headphones. They don't sound as good as the other ones, and they're made to be stationary on your desk. But like, if I'm sitting in my desk doing a podcast, which I tend to do a lot of recently for some reason, or I'm just listening to music, these are comfortable. They don't touch your ears. They're so big, can just wear them all day long and listen to music or whatever. So, nice. And they're much cheaper. I think they're like $100 or something like that. So,
okay. All right. Nice. Well, good honorable mention there. All right. Yeah. I'm going to move into my fourth pick. And my fourth pick is going to be, I'm going to go with Canva. And I know that that is not a high techie recommendation, but Canva has revolutionized over the past year and a half or so. It has just revolutionized my workflow with all the designs and the projects that I manage. I resisted, and I did a full series of episodes on Canva back in the summer. So I'm not going to talk about all the features and all that, but I resisted the idea of Canva for the longest time because, you know, I was like, no, I'm above that. You know, I'm a professional.
I totally get it.
I need to be using Photoshop and, you know, whatever. And but it was because a graphic designer who's a much better designer than me came to me and he said, Luke, I know it's crazy, but you just got to give Canva a chance. He's like, just pay the like whatever is $150 for a year of Canva Pro. And he said, and I think you'll be really happy. So what I have done now, it is just part of my workflow, is sometimes, yes, many times like new designs are still created in Photoshop, but I make sure that they get converted to Canva. Now, can it do every single thing that Photoshop can do? No, but it can do 90 to 95% of it, of what matters. And to me, that's all that I care about. So I'll get a Photoshop file and I'll get it converted to Canva. So it's still got the layers and, you know, obviously the editability of text and everything, but like resizing a design is just mindless. You just literally say, oh, I want to go from a widescreen to like an Instagram square or even like a vertical post. And you just do a couple clicks and boom, it's all done for you. And I like the best tool I found for removing backgrounds from an image is Canva. I think it does it better than Photoshop and it's so quick and efficient. So I don't know how much experience you have with Canva, Ryan, but I've just been really impressed and I've just gotten over my pride and I'm using it.
I can talk about Canva from another perspective. I love Canva because I used to do in Photoshop or in InDesign, I used to do all of the graphics for my church. So all of our slides, all of our web graphics, social media graphics, I did all of it. And now we have a couple volunteers that take care of that. I never would have imagined giving that up, right? Because I have pretty high standards. And I have high standards. I had high standards for that. And now we have a couple volunteers and they use Canva and it looks absolutely great, like adequate all the time. And it's so, these people would be terrified by Photoshop. I, to this point, am probably terrified of Photoshop. You know, I've been using it for 20 years. So it's wonderful. It's a wonderful tool. And then stuff like you have that giant library of Canva designs that, that you have for your subscription just makes things so easy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really is. And what I love is that when I'm working with a church on even a custom design is when it's done, I send them the Canva link. They're welcome to come back with feedback. That's wonderful. But if it's something small in particular, like, oh, you know, I want to, the dates are actually this, or I want to, you know, change a small little tweak of the text, they can just do it. And now the project's done and I can move on to the next one. It just streamlines everything, makes it so much more efficient. So yeah, Canva for the win. And I have sung its praises at this point many times on the podcast. And, you know, 2016 version of Luke would listen to this podcast and say, you're a moron. Why would you say that? But I have learned so much. Canva is a game changer. So, all right, we're moving into the fifth pick here. And so Ryan, you're up.
That's a repeat. You've already said the iPad Air, and that was on my list. I will be purchasing an M1 or whatever iPad Air as soon as I can. For one reason, Apple has changed the way that the M series iPad Airs and iPad Pros work with external monitors. And you can, if you have an iPad Air or an iPad Pro that has a M chip in it, you can plug it into an external monitor and it works almost just like a complete computer. And so with my number one pick, which I'll get to in a second, I love working with that on the iPad. It's perfect with that. And it makes a distraction-free get work done environment. With me, because I dabble in web development. I have a tendency to sit down at my computer to do church work and get sucked into web development. And I can't do it on an iPad. I find when I'm on an iPad also that I'm doing less switching to check Twitter or switching to check YouTube or whatever. It's a little bit more of a focus machine for me. And so I'm excited about getting the M1 iPad Air. Why the Air? Because it's a couple hundred dollars cheaper than the Pro, and there's no reason for me to get the Pro. And so I'm excited about that just because they have, the extended feature, the stage manager feature that they've added has actually made it a suitable desktop alternative. And I'll probably just take the computer out of my office and just plug that into the keyboard and mouse that I have over there and use that as my writing machine.
Yeah. Well, and I actually would be really interested to potentially, you know, follow up with you once you've got that set up, because that's very intriguing. Because yes, again, going back to what I said, and I'm not doing as much writing as a pastor. You're doing way more writing than I am. Yeah. But even for the little bit that I do, that, like you said, that focus that you get from just, hey, there's less likely to go over here and hop over and check email real fast or check social or whatever it may be. I'm really, really interested to see, you know, kind of how that does maybe change your workflow and improve it even. And I made a comment earlier when I was talking about the iPad, how, you know, I kind of wish that, you know, they would allow macOS to run on maybe the larger iPads, but I do see the beauty of the focus aspect of iPadOS. And so, that has become my thing with all, I'm very techie guy, have a lot of different devices. Every device I have actually has its own kind of unique purpose. You know, my computer is my main workstation. My iPad would be my main writing station. And even my phone, and spoiler alert, I'll get to that here in a moment, has its own purpose as well, beyond you know, what you would use what I would use like my iPad for. So no, really, really good pick there. Solid pick. I know it's a crossover with mine, but again, I'm really excited to see how you utilize that. How soon do you think you're going to be acquiring that?
That depends on some other factors, but maybe I'll get one for Christmas. I don't know.
That's true. We're at time of recording here. We're getting close to Christmas. So, okay, yeah, very good. All right, yeah. So that was your number five, and so here's my number five. And actually, I'm still debating as I'm looking at it here. So. My number five is, you know what, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it because I feel like it's a little early for me to make this recommendation because I haven't been using it long, but I'm going to just go for it. And that is StreamYard, which is the platform that I'm actually using right now to record this podcast episode. So with very rare exception, all of my podcast guests are recorded virtually. You know, very rarely I have the ability to host an in-studio guest, but very rarely does that happen. Because most of my contacts, people I know, are like you, Ryan, like you're states away from me. So, I, for the longest time was using Zoom, you know, to record my podcast, and, you know, it does good enough, you know, it gets the job done, I guess. But two things. First of all, the quality of it in the first place isn't fantastic. You know, your final files are not going to be high definition. And, you know, there's a lot of, I've noticed there's a lot of audio issues in terms of, you know, that there's just that Zoom quality to your audio that just kind of is always going to be there. And when you're recording in a virtual environment, you're always going to deal with that to some extent. But I just noticed in Zoom, it was a little bit more than I like to tolerate. The other thing, though, and I don't know, Ryan, how much you're using Zoom nowadays, but Zoom just kind of sucks lately.
I hate Zoom so much.
Yeah, they've just really, like, they became all the rage in the pandemic and kind of upped their game. And then after the pandemic was over, it's like, well, I guess we don't care anymore. And I don't know. Like, so I have actually, I had an annual subscription to Zoom. I've canceled that. That will be expiring, I believe, in like February of next year. Mm. And so I'm just going to use, like, I haven't decided, maybe Google Meet or Teams.
Google Meet is adequate. Yeah, for short meetings.
For meetings, because I've discovered StreamYard for my actual podcast. And so what StreamYard allows me to do is just have this entire virtual studio, and it runs completely in Chrome. So there's no extra software that my guests have to go install, because most of them are already going to have Google Chrome. So it runs there, and I can do all of the video switching, as you've kind of seen me do. Like, here's an example. I'm switching to the split screen now, kind of the this mode. If I wanted to share my, like, all these different formats, I don't really do that much with it. But yeah, so I mean, I just really like all the stuff. I can run my intro directly in, like the intro at the beginning of this episode, I just ran directly here in the software. I'll run the outro directly. So it saves me from really having, I'm getting to where I don't have to do any editing. Like, all my editing is done live in the software. And so it's saving me time. It's really efficient. The quality is really good. I am very happy with StreamYard. And again, Ryan, I don't know, is this your first experience using this platform?
I think it might be. I've used similar platforms in the past, but this might be my first experience with StreamYard, and it seems really good.
Yeah, I tried Riverside for a little while, mm-hmm. and I gave that about a try for a month, month and a half. The problem was it was working fine, and maybe I just didn't have much mercy with it, but there was a couple of recordings where the audio and video were out of sync, and so I had to go and post and fix that, and that is a pain in the rear end if you've ever had to do that. So I found StreamYard, and I as of now, I'm not looking back.
Nothing is worse as a podcast host than getting a great guest like somebody better than me, obviously, you know, on your podcast recording and then losing the audio. I had that happen with my best ever podcast guest. I had the CEO of a software company I admire, somebody who wouldn't talk to me, give me the time of day, you know, and I had this great conversation with him. Meant so much to me that he would do it. And then I lost the audio because of some junky software I was using. So StreamYard seems solid, man. I'm checking out.
Yeah. I do like it. Because another thing you mentioned that what it's doing is it's recapturing our whole episode here in the browser, but it's also recording your video and audio independently, mine independently. Mm-hmm. And what it'll do when we're done here is it'll upload both. So now I have individual files of each. So if I did have to go and post and do some editing, so I've been really pleased with it. And it has been really great. So that's why it comes in at number five for me. So now before we get to number one, Ryan, you're going to get, I don't make the rules. Actually, I do. But you're going to get 60 seconds to give any honorable mentions before we go on number one. And at 60 seconds for real, I've got my timer right here. When you hear it go off, your time is up. So honorable mentions for you, Ryan, starting now.
Wow. Okay. If you use a Mac, Raycast is a really cool tool. It helps you do just about everything. It kind of takes the place of Spotlight. That's a really neat one. A great keyboard, I like the mechanical clicky keyboards. I forget what this thing is called. Magic Trackpad, kind of pricey, but unbelievably helpful to have for like switching back and forth between things. I like AirPods, but I really like the Beats. I forget what this particular model is called, but I prefer them. We won them in a contest or something. I prefer these to my AirPod Pros.
10 seconds.
That's all I got.
Oh, is that? Wow. Came in under time. Good for you. I won't do that. I promise you. I always go to my limit. Actually, before I start though, I will second what you said there about, what was it with the, oh no, goodness. What was one of the things you just mentioned? Magic Trackpad. Yes. Magic Trackpad. So I'm weird. I use both. I use the Magic, the mouse, but I use the trackpad, and I keep the trackpad on my left hand, and I use that for zooming in on certain software, swiping left and right. I love full windows, you know, when I'm working. Yeah. And so because I'm right-handed, so I keep my mouse, my Magic.
I don't know
mouse
that I'm coordinated right. enough to pull this off, but I'm going to give it a try.
Yeah.
No, I use the mouse as well, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I switched to that approach years ago, and I love it. Like it's great. Cause then, like I said, I kind of control, I'm having two control devices there on both hands. So, okay. So now I get 60 seconds for honorable mentions, and I will go over time, but I'm going to go ahead and start my timer now. So I'm going to go with ChatGPT. That's an honorable mention. I do not recommend that you use that to write things for you, but it is great to give me a start for writing prompts and things like that. I also want to throw out macOS Sonoma. I've really appreciated that update. I like the widgets feature on the desktop. I like that you can create standalone web apps from web pages. I like the pretty background. If you're watching the pretty background back there, that's macOS Sonoma's there. So I like that. I'm going to give a shout out to my AirPods Pro because I love them. They're in my ears all the time. I'm a big podcast guy. And they're a game changer for me. And yes, like you said about your headphones, if I ever lose my AirPods Pro or something like that, I will just be buying a new set. Like there's just no waiting there. I think I did it. Oh, iPad mini. iPad mini is cool for my daughter, but I'm not going to get into that right now, but, cause I'm out of time.
All right. Very good.
All right. So that's honorable mentions, but Ryan, now it is time for us to each reveal our number one pick. And because you did win the coin toss, you're up.
All right. Well, my number one is a piece of software that's probably kind of polarizing. It's called Obsidian, and it is a note-taking tool. There's a couple things that are absolutely awesome about Obsidian. It's cross-platform. You can use it on Mac. You can use it on Windows. You can use it on Linux. You can use it on iPad and Android. It's just really good. it's free, but you have to pay for a sync feature. And so like to sync it really well. And if you pay, it's very reasonable, like $5 a month or something like that. It just syncs all of your notes just beautifully. There is this amazing community of people that write plugins for it. So like you could do everything just on this one app. It's really good. I mean, you need calendar. You can use it as a calendar. You can use it for project planning. You can use it obviously for writing. You can use it for slides. You can use it for just about anything. I just love this program so much. It saves all of your folders, every file as a plain text file on your computer, which means it's future proof. So you can use it, you know, for years and years. And, you know, all of my sermons that I've ever written as a pastor, 12 years pastoring, they're all in this thing. There's a system. This is really nerdy, but if you're into notes, there's a book called How to Take Smart Notes by Zonke Ahrens that I recommend to lots of people. It's very deep, hard reading. But if you implement the things there, it's life-changing. He recommends something called Zettelkasten, which is a system for taking notes. And I use Obsidian for that. I also use Obsidian for my projects, anything that I've got going on. It's just sort of my second brain that I use for everything. If I hear about a book, Obsidian. If I want to write down a quote, Obsidian. If I need to write something, I'm going to start in Obsidian. It's great.
Yeah. And I have heard of Obsidian and I've heard people sing its praises. I don't know. I've kind of looked at it before. Now you may have said this, it works on your computer. Is there an iPhone app and all of that as well?
Yep. Yeah. There's an iPhone app, iPad app. It's great on the iPad. I use the iPad a lot with it. Linux, I actually found an old, like a Mac Mini from like 15 years ago that I was going to throw away. I put Linux on it and locked myself out of the admin account so I can't add software, and put Obsidian on it, and I keep it in my office, and it is my ultimate distraction free machine, because like I literally cannot do anything besides Obsidian on this machine.
Wow.
And without getting the password from somebody else, I don't know the password. And so it's like if I really need to focus and not get on YouTube or mess around, it's perfect for that. Super nerdy, but it's worth it, in my opinion, to get into it. It is a super helpful tool for any creative professional.
Okay. No, I'm really intrigued because I've heard of it and I've just never really tried it. So I may be looking into that. Okay. Well, I guess I'm up for my number one, which I've already done an episode where I talked about it in a little more detail, but if I'm talking about my best stuff of the year, it has to be mentioned and it has to be my number one, and it is the iPhone 15 Pro Max. There it is for all to see. Okay. Yeah, there it is. All its beauty. So I was using the iPhone mini, the 12 mini was my phone for 2 years. And honestly, the 13 came and went and I wasn't that impressed. The 14 came and went and I wasn't that impressed. When they announced the 15, I was more, honestly, I was the same. And, you know, Apple's just been doing the same, playing the same game the past few years with phones, you know, hey, better camera, slightly faster, you know, whatever. Well, honestly, when it came to the 15, they weren't announcing anything too revolutionary, in my opinion. I mean, it's made with titanium, which it is nice. The durability, I guess, is nice. But it was just time for me to upgrade. So I was like, all right, fine. I'll just upgrade. And I said, you know what? I'm going to switch things up. I was on the mini. I'm going to go to the max. I'm going to go to the biggest size, because I was like, if I'm going to upgrade, I'm going to go big. So, and Verizon basically said, hey, sell me your soul and we'll give it to you for free. So I was like, sure, here you go, Verizon. Enjoy. So, I got the 15 Pro Max, and I can just say that first of all, I didn't realize how much I missed having a bigger phone screen. It is nicer just to have that larger, you know, phone screen. I guess I'm getting old. I don't know what it is, but you know, just things are bigger. It's kind of nice. But the camera on this phone is absolutely mind blowing. And I'm sure that compared to like an iPhone 14, it's an incremental improvement. But for me, going from the 12 to the 15, it was a big enough jump for me to really notice it. I have taken video. So I have a DSLR, but a mirrorless Sony A7S, which actually is the camera I'm looking into right now that I use to record this content anytime I may go out on a video shoot. But I also take this iPhone Pro Max with me now. And I don't know, the footage is pretty indistinguishable from, oh, did I shoot this on the Sony or did I shoot this on my phone? It's been really great. I've really enjoyed upgrading to this. And here's where we're at now. If you need a good camera, go buy a good iPhone. That's really where I'm at on making recommendations. Because, you know, even if you, like, I've had people say, hey, I want to get into, like, I have an audio podcast, but I want to do video version. What should I do? Go get a tripod for your phone and maybe considering upgrading your phone if you haven't in a while so you have the best possible camera on a phone. But yeah, I have just been blown away by, in particular, the camera quality on the iPhone 15 Pro Max. So that is my number one.
So can I add something to that?
Yeah, go for it.
If you have an iPhone, I have the 12 Max, which in the same color as you too, so we have good taste.
Oh, look at
that. Which has been awesome. I went from the Mini to this because I lost my Mini. Literally could not find it for a month and a half. So I went and bought. So I double sold my soul to Verizon. Nice. But you can buy this accessory that uses the MagSafe on the back of it that will sit on top of your laptop and you can use continuity camera. And it's great. It is fantastic. Yes. But it also serves as a stand. And I keep that on my phone most of the time because it's just, doesn't really bother me to have it on in my pocket. And it's always in my bag. So usually I was kind of running behind. Usually I would be using that camera on any kind of podcast interview. And people are always like, wow, your camera looks so good. I'm like, it's just my phone.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm glad you said that because yes, the continuity feature, which they added that a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. But the continuity feature with, now that with Sonoma, they've added the ability to add the bokeh effect, like in post, like right now the bokeh, effect that you see on my camera here, that is actually in camera. So I'm not using Apple's features, but I am using the studio light feature. And I'm actually going to here's the difference. So there's no studio light. And then that's me turning the studio light on. And it really does. It makes it have more of a studio vibe here or whatever. But that also works with the continuity camera. And so, yes, and I will say MagSafe is fantastic. Like I love Mac. Like what I have, my MagSafe accessory of choice is this wallet, which is so I've got my driver's license and my main credit card in there, and then it also is a little stand as well.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
And what's great about it is I have one of those as well mounts for my laptop. So yeah, I pop this off, put the other one on, and you know we're ready to go. So yeah, iPhone is really just kind of that's why in my opinion they're the best smartphone out there. So. Anyways, well, Ryan, hey, it's been really good catching up with you, going through all these tech devices, and I hope our listening and watching audience out there enjoys this. Any final words, final honorable mentions we forgot to mention before we sign off here?
Yeah, I'm not giving you permission to buy all these stuff, so make sure you clear that with your significant other first. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, there you go. That is true. it's probably best we release this after Christmas.
Right.
Because, you know, now it's like, well, you already spent all your money. So, you know, just budget for this in 2024, maybe. Maybe that's the best you can do.
That's the best idea. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, thanks, Ryan, for joining us and everybody else out there. Appreciate it. Hope you're having a great still holiday season. And as we go into this, hope you have a happy new year. And we'll see you next time here on the Must Increase Podcast.
We are so glad you joined us for this episode. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you may listen to podcasts. Also, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star review and share this podcast with your friends. You can connect with us online at mustincrease.com. And if you'd like a topic or question to be featured on a future episode, send us a text to 615-900-4461. Thanks again for joining us for this episode, and we look forward to seeing you next time as we continue to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others right here on the Must Increase Podcast.